Sure, Craig's back for another Sunday afternoon.
Craig's still on his last chance.
Yep.
But last week, Craig did well.
I think if this week sounds really good, I think we figured out the problem, and it's just a bandwidth thing with too many people being on Discord, and just their recording program isn't set up to handle that, I guess. But last week sounded really good, so we'll see how this goes.
One of the first lessons in podcast school is to spend time on the show when it's recording, talking about stuff about like technical issues.
Yeah, exactly.
People go crazy for that shit.
I know. Man, did you hear how good it sounded last week? I hope they do the same time this week.
Yeah, I get a bunch of emails that are like, you guys sounded great. Can you talk a little bit more about your process?
Right.
It's episode 32. It's TH Fantasy.
Hell yeah. Hey, what's going on? Fuck yeah, episode 32.
32. Craig's here. We're ready to go. Today, we have the Easts. We took the Easts, and I think you might have had some fun.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, there was a lot more for me to talk about this week than in weeks previous. So I had the AFC East. Tony did the NFC East. Do you want to start out with one of your teams or one of my teams?
Yeah, I'll start this week.
Sure.
So we're going to go, I think we were kind of talking about doing like last to first. I'm going to break it down into like the two teams that I don't think have a chance to do anything, and then the two teams that I think have a chance.
I did last to first this week, but I feel I really like the first two teams that I did. The sure. Jets and the Dolphins. Just because they did a lot through free agency and the draft to beef up their teams. And, the Bills are going to be the Bills. They're still going to be the most likely the best in the league. But I think the Jets and the Dolphins are going to give them a run for their money this year.
The AFC West and the AFC East are two nightmare divisions.
Yeah.
So
who are you starting with?
So we're going to start with the New York Football Giants.
Awesome. Okay.
They suck.
What was their record last year?
They were 4-13.
Ouch.
Remember when they had 3rd and 9 on their own 3-yard line and they ran a quarterback sneak up the middle?
Yep.
That's the New York Giants season in a nutshell. They lost to the Bears 29-3.
Yeah, that's pretty bad, especially because the Bears, what, they threw 19 touchdowns last year or something like that? Yeah,
it was fucking awful. The Giants were a team that, like, if I was looking at the waiver wire for a fantasy defense, I was like, all right, like, here we go. That I'm trying to find whoever's playing New York.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So, they were fucking terrible last year, and it doesn't look like it's going to get much better this year. Luckily, Coach Joe Judge and General Manager Dave Gettleman fucked off into the void and are now doing shit elsewhere. You'll talk about where Joe Judge is. So let me talk about who Joe Judge is for a minute. Right? So, Joe Judge is a fucking douche. He's a douche. He's just one of those, like, old men that think that, like, there's a right way to play and there's a wrong way to play. And there was, like, a fight in training camp, and he made all of them run the full length of the field, sprints back and forth, and then do push-ups together for, like, this was, like, 10 minutes of just sheer insanity.
Yeah, that's right. That was, like, in the middle of the season?
No, that was preseason.
Preseason?
And then also, do you remember when they cut Kelvin Benjamin because he got into an argument with Kelvin Benjamin about, like, I heard it was about food, like him taking food home.
Taking food home from the facility?
Yeah.
Like, aren't players allowed to do that?
I thought so.
Why wouldn't you be allowed to do that?
I don't fucking know, man. And then he also had an 11-minute rant after that Giants game when they got beat by the Bears, where he talked about how there are players on other teams that are calling the Giant or calling him personally every day to try to be like, I want to play for you guys. Like, come on, dude. Fuck off. So he's gone. And we'll talk about where he landed, because in the NFL, shitty dudes always land like in great spots.
You'll be shocked. You'll be shocked to find out what he potentially might be able to do this year.
I know, right? Talk about like going from nothing to everything. So I really like their like rebuilding plan, right? They got Joe Schoen as their new general manager, and they got Brian Daboll is their new head coach, who obviously spearheaded the Josh Allen project in Buffalo. For offensive coordinator, they got Mike Kafka, who I think he was a Northwestern guy, and also was the passing game coordinator in Kansas City in 2020. So they have a pretty good offensive coaching scheme. Dude, did you know this? Their new defensive coordinator is Don, a.k.a. Wink Martindale, the Baltimore defensive coordinator.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Now, Baltimore played like ass last year, man. They had like the worst secondary in the league. You know, from the DFS show, we were trying to target whoever was playing Baltimore every week.
That's true, yeah.
That's the game where Joe Burrow threw for 500-something yards.
That's right. Waleed was always all over it. It's like, what? Go against Baltimore. Go against Baltimore.
Well, their defensive backfield was injured the entire year. Almost every other year, they're a top-10 defense. So who knows? Like, he's a great coach, and they have a great offensive, you know, coaching scheme coming in, so we'll see what happens. So they got some new guys. They didn't really break the bank. They're in a rebuild. You don't throw a lot of money at, you know, top-end talent during a rebuild. Why would you do that?
Yeah.
So they got a couple of guards. They got Mark Lewinsky and Max Garcia. Mark Lewinsky's got, like, a 70-plus PFF grade, so he might be a starter, but the other guy's backup. They got former U of I defensive lineman / edge Jihad Ward as a rotational piece. Jordan Atkins, tight end from Houston, is now there. And Ricky Seals-Jones.
Okay.
Tight end Ricky Seals-Jones. All right. Players that left. Defensive lineman Austin Johnson went to the Chargers. Jabril Peppers went to the Patriots, which is a pretty big loss. Evan Ingram is in Jacksonville, which makes sense. Lorenzo Carter is gone. He's in Atlanta. And then James Bradbury, as I was writing this, went to Philadelphia.
Really?
And it's a huge loss. Yeah. Okay. So their draft was the shit. They fucking killed it, man. They had picks 5 and 7, and everyone's like, oh, trade back, trade back. No, they just got Kayvon Thibodeau and Evan Neal, and people said that could be the best interior or the best defensive lineman and offensive lineman in the draft, depending on how you had those dudes ranked. Like, they fucking killed it.
And the Giants are still, they're rolling with Daniel Jones still, right?
Yeah, this is
this is his make or break year, right?
Well, so this is his fourth year, and they already committed to not picking up his fifth year option.
Okay.
So this is essentially a one-year tryout.
I mean, I guess that could change if he comes out and throws for 4,000 yards and 35 touchdowns, but I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think that's going to happen either. So they got Ryan's pre-draft Muggsy Bogues Award player, Wandale Robinson.
Oh, they picked up him, huh?
He was in the second round. They picked him up.
Wow.
So our short king, Wandale Robinson, 5'8". He's fucking awesome, man. If he gets a chance, like, I like him. I like Wandale Robinson. They got a guard from North Carolina, Joshua Edzudu, Cordell Flott from LSU, cornerback in the third. They got a tight end, Ryan's guy, Daniel Bellinger, tight end.
Nice.
Ryan, that's your dude right there.
Yeah, I liked his film when we were looking that stuff up earlier in the year. Definitely a really good tight end. It could translate well.
He's got space to operate, right? No one's really taking that room over.
Yeah, I mean, they got rid of Ingram, so he's got to compete against old man Seals-Jones and Jordan Akins.
Yeah, and then I don't think they brought back Kyle Rudolph, but he's so unimportant that I didn't even
write right.
They got Dane Belton, the safety from Iowa, which we'll talk about in a second. I know you got love for Iowa.
You're a
fan, so we'll talk about him in a minute. I snuck in a little Dane Belton talk here in a minute.
Sweet.
All right. So, what does the 2022 New York Giants offensive scheme look like? Well, since last year was an abomination, it's going to be better no matter what. They had their bye in Week 10 last year, and after that, they scored over 13 points one time in their last eight games.
Holy Jesus.
Yeah, fucking terrible. They looked like a JV team, you know? Okay, so people are going to side-eye the pick of Wandale Robinson, right, in the second, because they think that the Daboll offense is like what we saw with Josh Allen. And it wasn't always that way, is what we need to remember, I think. Like, it wasn't always the high-flying thing that we see right now in year four of Josh Allen's development. Daboll loves to run, like, mesh routes and crosses and short crossers to create mismatches. So, like, think about Michael Robinson and Kadarius Toney running underneath.
Yeah, yeah.
If it works the way it's supposed to, it could make the game real easy for Daniel Jones. Since the offense had the second lowest points per game last season, there's nowhere to go but up. If he sucks, Daniel Jones is gone after this year. But remember, a key concept of the Daboll offense is play action. So if Saquon's healthy and productive, this is like a buy-low offense in fantasy, man. Like,
yeah.
The problem is that I think this division is on the upswing. So I think they're going to be stuck competing and being at their best during a time that everyone else is also kind of peaking.
That makes sense.
All right, so last year's Giants defense looked good, but so much of that is because their offense was so fucking limp dick that they started running out the clock after halftime, right? They're up 20.
Right.
But listen to this. Even though they were stacked against them constantly, they got 15 interceptions, 12 forced fumbles, and 36 sacks. That's not bad for a team that's playing from behind so much.
That's true.
So they got a new defensive coordinator, Wink Martindale, and his defense is just all about pressure. Wink, I like to call him Wink. That's his nickname. Call him Wink. Wink takes pride in creating looks that will get free rushers to the quarterback. And so he'll use like twists and stunts if he's not blitzing. I can see Wink using Kayvon Thibodeau, like a former player that he used to coach, Terrell Suggs. I think that they're going to put Thibodeau in the Suggs role and see what he can do. Try to get him in one-on-one situations where he can wreck offenses. So they're going to need fourth-round rookie from Iowa, Dane Belton, to be an immediate impact player because he could be the starting safety in week one. And if you think about the type of defenses where you have to bring everyone, if you're bringing the house on pressure, safety's got to play man coverage, man.
Yeah.
So Dane Belton better be ready right away. Apparently Belton's like a run stuffer, hard hitter. So maybe he's going to be coming with the heat. Who knows? So I think they picked the right type of player to fill that spot in the defense.
Okay.
All right. The level of belief that you have in the Giants should be directly tied to how quickly you think Brian Daboll can fix it. But if you think it's happening this year, you're just wrong.
No.
But they nailed their first two picks, absolutely, and they're solidifying that core for the future. If Daniel Jones sucks, he's gone. If Barkley sucks, they won't re-sign him, but they probably won't anyways.
Right.
This team is rebuilding the right way, and I am a Daboll believer. So I think maybe next year this team, depending on what happens, could be on the upswing. They nailed the general manager, head coach, and defensive coordinator hires, and they could be building something cool in New York that isn't just unaffordable housing. My prediction for the New York Giants is 6-11.
Wow.
That's a lot of wins.
I was going to say something like that, too. What's Vegas got it at?
Do you want to do Do you want me to give the line first and then you pick, or do you want to pick and me give the line?
I'll pick and then you give me the line. I want to say it's like 5.5, so I'm gonna go 5.
The Vegas line for the New York Football Giants is 7.5 wins.
No fucking way.
7.5 wins.
Oh, I'm taking the under on that all day. I might go in right now and do it.
I am also heavy smash the under 7.5 games. I think it's like -160. So you're getting shit odds, but still.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan.
That's crazy.
Who's first? Tell me.
All right, we're going with our friend Jeff's favorite team, the New York Jets.
The Jets.
All right, so Jets, solid. 4-13 last year. Just like the Giants.
Woof.
But unlike the Giants, I think they have a way better opportunity to advance their team this year. With what they did in the offseason and in their draft, I saw something the other day that said if the Jets had drafted Justin Fields instead of Zach Wilson, they'd be a playoff team this year. I still think they can make the playoffs. I think Zach Wilson is going to develop some chemistry with these guys. Cause I mean, if he doesn't like this, they've put together a super team for him. All right. And we'll touch on that shortly. But, so this year, Jets head coach, Robert Saleh, his second season as head coach. We got Mike LaFleur as offensive coordinator. We've got Jeff Ulbrich at defensive coordinator and Brent Boyer, a special teams coordinator. Some notable players that exited the team this year. Jamison Crowder's gone. Morgan Moses, outside tackle. Blake Cashman, linebacker. Defensive tackle, Florison Futukasi. Jared Davis left.
Yeah.
Ryan Griffin, tight end, my boy Griffin, who I hit only once last year because I think he had one touchdown last year. But I always played him like every week in DFS because he was like $4,500.
You've lost money because of this guy.
Yep. But he went to the Bears, so I'm excited now. He went to the Bears. Another notable name would be Keelan Cole. But they did plenty in the offseason to make up for some of these losses.
I just looked up, and I don't want to spoil it because it's so important to our show, but I just looked up where Jamison Crowder went. Interesting.
Yeah. It's going to be.
All right. Anyways, go on.
Some new players they added. They picked up DJ Reed at cornerback.
Okay.
They picked up Laken Tomlinson at left guard. He notable notes on him. He has never missed a game due to injury in 5 seasons.
That's
nice. He also only gave up 2 sacks in 2021. Very good offensive line pickup.
Yeah.
And you know I love tight ends. So
yeah.
They picked up CJ Uzama and Tyler Conklin in free agency.
That's crazy.
So right there, Zach Wilson's going to have some weapons to throw to in the short game.
They are collecting like shitty tight ends like Infinity Stones, man.
Oh my God, that's funny. But no, they're not that shitty. I mean, Conklin's pretty good. Uzama's like 6'6", 260.
Okay, they're collecting mid.
Yeah, they're not shitty. We're not talking like Bears collecting Griffin and O'Shaughnessy.
Right, that's shitty.
Right. Even though O'Shaughnessy was decent with Jacksonville, but they picked up Jordan Whitehead at strong safety. They got an edge rusher, Jacob Martin. They also got a defensive tackle, Solomon Thomas. They also parted ways with whatever rookie kicker they were using last year. It was like every week the Jets had a different kicker last year.
Yeah, they had Eddie Pinero on there for a minute.
Yeah.
All kinds of people, yeah.
So So they picked up Greg the Leg from Dallas.
There we go.
So another addition to their offense. Like, I mean, if Greg can get out of whatever slump he was in Dallas, maybe he just needed to change the scenery. I think he's still got plenty of good boot left in that leg.
My boy's still got plenty of boot.
So, you know, get within 35 yards and he can hopefully add some points to that offense. So let's go to their draft. The Jets surprisingly had 3 first round picks.
Fuck yeah.
Round 1, pick 4, they picked up Ahmad Gardner, cornerback from Cincinnati.
Sauce.
They also had round 1, pick 10. They picked up Garrett Wilson from Ohio State, wide receiver. I think that was a great pick. Good place for him to develop, hopefully.
Right.
Especially with the talent he'll be, you know, working with.
Right.
And then round 1, pick 26, their third of the first round, they picked up a defensive end from Florida State, Jermaine Johnson.
Yeah, they jumped back into the first to get him.
That's right. Okay.
They traded up to get him. And because they had him rated pretty high, so they fucking killed it, man. Especially the first. But they did more. Tell me more.
I really like the next 2 picks. Round 2, pick number 36. They picked up Breece Hall, running back from Iowa State.
So good.
Yeah. Tony talked a lot about him in our draft specials. I think it's gonna be a good compliment to Michael Carter.
Carter will be a good compliment to him.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that works, because Michael Carter's pretty good too, even though everyone keeps saying he's not a 3-down back. He had some really good production at the end of like the last 6 weeks of the regular season. He was actually putting up 20 plus fantasy points in those games.
Who was that? The backup quarterback that was there, that played a couple of games, some generic white dude's name was like Kyle Smith or something stupid like that.
I honestly don't remember.
I remember Michael Carter had like 12 catches in a game last year.
That wasn't the game where Berrios caught 3 touchdowns, was it?
No.
That was Wilson, right?
Yeah, I think that was Wilson. Well, Berrios in that game, he ran for 1, caught 1, and returned a kick for 1.
Oh, something okay. Like
that. I don't know. Anyways, my apologies. Go on.
So, yeah, they got Breece Hall. Great addition to that running game. Another great pick, Jeremy Ruckert, tight end from Ohio State. It's going to be interesting. And if Conklin or Uzama goes down, he could get some playing time right off the bat. I mean, he's a big guy. He's got plenty of experience. He played for Ohio State. It's not like he was playing for Southwest Missouri State or anything like that. He saw some competition. So that could put some confidence in the coaching staff and putting him out there if one of these guys gets injured.
Well, his blocking will get him on the field.
Yeah. But I think what we read was that he wasn't like the greatest blocker.
No, but he's a big
dude. Right. He wasn't shitty. Yeah. He wasn't letting guys through the, you know. And then they had 2 more picks, I'm assuming because of the trade-up. They had 2 more fourth-round picks, number 111. They picked up an outside tackle from Louisiana, Max Mitchell. And at 117, they picked up Michael Clemens, defensive end from Texas A&M. And that's all they did in the draft. So that was 7 picks altogether. Not bad, but, you know, 7 picks all within the first 4 rounds. So
and 7 picks that give you a very clear idea of what type of team they're trying to build.
Right, right.
They're like, yo, we're finding out. We're going to find out as soon as possible if Zach Wilson is the guy.
Yeah, and going into their offensive scheme, Zach Wilson's going to have to show up. I mean, Look at, they've got Elijah Moore, Corey Davis, Braxton Berrios, Tyler Conklin, CJ Uzama, Breece Hall, Michael Carter. He's got the fucking weapons. If right, he doesn't right. do shit, I'm going to be so upset. I'm actually kind of excited to watch the Jets this year.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome. Yeah.
They're not there yet, but they're fun.
Yeah. If Zach Wilson can develop some chemistry, this is going to be an awesome team. And looking at their schedule, if they do well in the first half of the season, they could potentially have a chance to get to the playoffs. Let's look at their schedule after week 10. Week 11, they play the Bears.
Uh-huh.
Week 12, they play Minnesota. Week 13, they play the Bills. That'll be a tough game. Week 13, they play the Lions. That would be week 14. They play the Lions. Week 15, they play Jacksonville. Week 15, they play Seattle. And then they finish off the year in Miami. So if they can get through the first part of the season, the beginning part of the season is kind of tough for them. They open the season against the Rams. Then they play the Browns. Then they play the Bengals. Then they play the Steelers. They go to Miami. They go to Green Bay. They go to Denver. They got the Pats, Bills, and then the Pats. So if they can get through those first 10 weeks with like 5 or 6 wins.
There's no way. There's no fucking way. You're going through there and I'm like 0-1, 0-2, 0-3, 1-3. They're gonna hit at week 10. They're gonna be, 3-6.
All I'm saying, if they're lucky enough to get 3-6 or 4-6 through the first 10 weeks of the season, the latter half of the season is probably the best latter half of the season in the entire NFL.
Okay.
I mean, look, Seattle's not going to be anyone. Jacksonville's not going to be anyone. I mean, maybe, but I don't think they'll be able to compete with the Jets. Lions, Minnesota, the Bears. We'll see about the Bears. I'll always be hopeful in the Bears. In terms of defense, they did some stuff to boost up in the draft with two defensive ends, and they picked up Jacob Martin at edge rush and Solomon Thomas, but they're still going to need more ball production this year, playing in that base 4-3 defense.
Okay.
So I really like the Jets this year. I think they show a lot of promise. I'm excited. I'm excited to watch them.
So I have the Lions ready. Do you want to tell me what your number is for the Jets right now?
Okay. I'm going to go. Do I think that they're going to make the playoffs? Oh, my God. You kind of made me pessimistic now after running through the first half of their season.
Well,
I'm going to be optimistic here. I'm going to say 9-8.
Wow. That's huge. Then you might as well just head on over to your local sports book because their line is 5.5.
Wow, I'm smashing that over all day.
So we ran through that first block of 10 games. Figure they win 2, maybe? Then that means they would need to beat the Bears, Detroit, Jacksonville,
Minnesota. Seattle, Miami, and Buffalo.
That seems like an over to me, too.
Right.
I am going to put the Jets at 6 wins. I'm also taking the over.
Yeah.
So far, we both took the under for the Giants.
Oh, right? Because it was at 7.5, right?
Yeah, so we both went under. And for the Jets, we went both over. All right, my turn. What we're going to do here is I'm going to play like the Soviet national anthem super quiet while I'm doing this part for the commies. So it's the Washington Commanders. They went 7-10 last year. They went 7-9 in 2020 and made the fucking playoffs.
Yeah, that's crazy.
and got their shit absolutely handed to them by Tom Brady.
Yep.
So, unfortunately, 7 wins is not cut it this year. They did not make the playoffs. Ron Rivera. Ron Rivera is still the coach. He is still the dude. Remember last year when he was going through his cancer treatments while coaching?
Yeah.
Like, I think I speak for both of us when I say we're both fans of Riverboat Ron, and we want to see him be successful, even if he works for a shit organization run by a sewer human awful person.
Of course.
So, no real changes to the offensive scheme or the defensive scheme. No new coaches. Just a couple promoted people from internal, whatever. You know what you're getting with this team.
Right.
So, talk a little bit about their new players. They got a new left guard and a new right guard. So, they got Andrew Norwell, who is an elite talent that's old. And then right guard Trey Turner, who is also an aging average guard. They're both around like the low 70s, high 60s PFF grades, so they're whatever. Interestingly, both of these guys were like Pro Bowl level linemen in Carolina when Rivera was coaching in Carolina.
Really?
Yeah, so he's like, oh, my old friends, come on back.
Yeah.
And then Washington also signed a player who is no man's friend, Carson Wentz. players that left. Do you remember, trivia time, Ryan? Surprise trivia question. Who was the week one starting quarterback for the Washington football team last year?
Starting quarterback for Washington last year.
Week one.
Was it Heinicke?
Nope.
It wasn't Alex Smith.
It was not. It's an old guy.
Oh.
He went to Harvard.
Was it Fitz?
Yeah. Ryan Fitzpatrick was the starting quarterback week one, got injured, missed the rest of
That's
the
game. Right. That's right.
So he's gone. Heineken is still there.
Is Fitz on any team this year?
No. Fitz is just hanging out. So Fitz is gone. Defensive lineman Matt Ioannidis is gone. He's in Carolina. Ricky Seals-Jones went to the Giants. And then their right guard and left guard left. Brandon Scherff, who went to Jacksonville. And then Eric Flowers, who is unsigned as of this writing. All right. So they didn't lose too much. They didn't gain too much. They're standing pat. Their coaches didn't really change. They're just like, hey, we're just going to try to do it better this year. Hopefully people don't get hurt. So let's talk about their draft. Round one, pick 16, they got Jahan Dotson, wide receiver, Penn State, who, if you read the TH Fantasy Guide, you'll know he was my wide receiver 7. So a bit of a reach, but Ryan, I've done 4 drafts since the NFL draft, and I have Jahan Dotson in 100% of leagues.
Where's he going?
Super late 1, early 2.
Really?
Yeah, I got him at 112, I think, in multiple leagues. Anyways, Fedarian Mathis, interior defensive lineman from Alabama, a good pickup there in the 2nd for them. In the 3rd, they got running back Alabama's Brian Robinson, my pre-draft running back 10. Percy Butler, safety from Louisiana. Sam Howell in round 5, North Carolina. If Sam Howell sees the field this year, this team is in major trouble. Because I think Heinicke's the number 2 still. So, whatever. They drafted a couple of fill-in spots in the 7th. I want to talk about pick 5. Round 5, pick 149. Cole Turner, tight end, Nevada. I really like this spot here.
He had some good film. I remember watching it.
He is a fucking basketball player, dude. He's like 6'6".
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's that guy.
Yeah, he's a guy that's just going to win jump balls in the end zone. Like, he caught like 12 touchdowns on like 40 catches last year in college or some shit where they're just like, yeah, man, just go stand there and we'll throw it. And you just go be taller and stronger than other dudes. All right, so let's talk about their offense in 2022. What's it look like? Well, according to PFF, which is not the end-all be-all, but according to PFF, the offense has downgraded at both offensive guard spots. And lost in all the shit that we talk about Carson Wentz, because we talk a lot of shit about Carson. He's only thrown double-digit interceptions in a season twice.
Really?
Yeah, he sucks in big moments.
Yeah, that's true.
But hopefully him being here will bring a little bit of stability to the position. But think about it, man. Think about how many shit awful quarterbacks have played for Washington since Kirk Cousins left.
Yeah, that's not good. Yeah.
So honestly though, the defense, they have some weapons, man. So like Gibson, McKissick, and Robinson is pretty interesting as a group of running backs. You know, Robinson's the basher, McKissick's the pass catcher, Gibson's the all-around guy. Like, there's a all three get looks.
There's potential, yeah.
I really like the tight end room of Logan Thomas, John Bates, and Cole Turner. You know, like, I think that's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And I hope, for Washington's sake, I hope they brought Dotson in to complement Terry, not replace him.
It's gonna be really good for Scary Terry because he's gonna have someone to pull coverage away.
My hope is that they re-sign Terry. So
they, I don't see why they wouldn't.
Well, they might not want to give him the bag, man. Who knows? So, like you took the words right out of my mouth, man. Dotson, he's a route runner. He's gonna help unlock secondaries to get Terry better
look. Yeah, yeah.
We all know we watched last year. We watched Carson Wentz make Michael Pittman a wide receiver too. Do we think that this offense is going to be efficient enough to support multiple fantasy relevant players next year? I'm not so sure, but it's possible.
Outside of playing McLaurin, I don't know. Unless Dotson gets hot, nobody's going to be playing him the first 3 weeks of the season unless he has that crazy breakout like first week like Hollywood Brown 2 or 3 years ago when he caught like 2 touchdowns in the first game of the season and just all of a sudden was their wide receiver one.
Sure. You know, I think there's a reality where that happens.
Yeah.
If Watson starts out hot, I'm trading him in all my dynasties or as many as I can because, you know, who knows?
Yeah, right.
Dotson, I don't think, is a wide receiver one. And if they don't sign Terry, I don't want Dotson.
Yeah, and if Dotson gets that first, like, 2 good weeks, like, you could get, like, 2 high draft picks in the next year's draft for that. 2 or 3, maybe.
I don't think I'll get 3, but I could probably get a first and a second.
Yeah.
All right, so, Commanders defense. The Commanders defense this year is already better than last year because everyone's healthy.
Yeah, okay.
They had 11 interceptions, 9 forced fumbles, and 38 sacks, which is a good amount considering how many games their best pass rushers missed. So, remember his rookie year when Chase Young was looking like fucking Lawrence Taylor?
Yeah.
He didn't look good last year, and people seem to think that his technique took a step back. So he's been working on technique while rehabbing his ACL. So if he's totally healthy, man, he gets back to being a monster. This defense is for real. Montez Sweat is the other chaos creator on the defensive line who also missed 7 games. So if you go back to a fully healthy Montez Sweat, Chase Young, and Jonathan Allen, this defense is fucking elite again.
Cool.
Like, the defense, the linebackers still need some help. But they drafted us a defensive back high, so hopefully they're trying to sew up some of their back end. All right.
Yeah.
All in all, the Washington Commanders are about a middle-of-the-pack team when it comes to the NFC. They're right in the middle.
Yeah.
They're about a 500 team, more or less, unless somehow Wentz levels up and plays like he did before his ACL injury. You know? But
and they could get it. They could get then that fluke scenario because they play in the NFC East. You know, one of the shittier divisions. They like we said, last year they made the playoffs, they were 7-9, and that was literally only because they play in the NFC East.
Sure. There's 2 things that need to happen for Washington to have what I would consider a season for them that they would not be disappointed by as an organization. 2 things. 1, the defense keeps scores low enough that the offense doesn't have to engage in shootouts.
Yeah.
and two, that the rest of the Daniel Snyder emails never come out. So, here's the thing. This division that we're talking, that I'm talking about, the NFC East, they play the NFC North and the AFC South. So all the teams that I'm talking about have games against Jacksonville, Houston, Chicago, and Detroit.
Okay.
So it's a pretty soft schedule. Plus the Giants twice. Like, that's pretty sweet.
Right.
I still have the Washington Commanders at 8-9, which is under the Vegas line of 8.5.
Wow. I was going to say like 7 wins. I'm taking the under on that.
All right, we're both under. So far, we're in total agreement. We're both on the under for the Giants, over for the Jets, and under for the Commanders.
Yeah, I don't think Gibson stays healthy again. He definitely won't play the whole season. I'm sure of that.
I hope that he gets healed.
Yeah, we'll see. All right. Should we move on to the next team?
Let's go. Bring it on.
All right. So, we're talking about the Miami Dolphins.
Whoa.
The Miami Dolphins, who also did some awesome things in free agency. They only had 4 picks in the draft. Because of what they did in free agency and in the draft, but we'll talk about that. They finished 9-8 last year.
That's right.
Their offense was pretty horrible. They finished 22nd in points scored with only 341 points, and they finished 25th in offensive yards. So they needed to do a lot of improvements in the offseason to ensure that maybe they make the playoffs this year. We'll see. They play in, like Tony said, just like the AFC West, the AFC East is pretty much the second toughest division. But they've got a decent schedule, and we'll talk about that later. But so we got Mike McDaniel as the head coach. We got Frank Smith as the new offensive coordinator. He was the run game / O-line coordinator for the Chargers last year.
Okay.
So it's a good addition to the coaching staff. He also was with the Raiders in 2018 to 2020, and he helped develop Darren Waller to become the third best tight end in the league.
Very cool.
So I'm kind of excited about that because Miami's got a set of decent tight ends too, outside of racist Adam Shaheen. But
yeah, fucking weird ass anti-vax goofball. Fuck you.
They've got Josh Boyer at defensive coordinator. That will be his third year. I believe John Embry is a new coach. He's their new assistant head coach / tight ends coach. And then you got Danny Crossman as their special teams coordinator. Some notable players that left. Jason McCourty, he's just getting old. Malcolm Brown, running back, left. Alan Hearns is still, no one has picked him up. Albert Wilson's gone. Will Fuller, I don't think anyone's picked him up.
Nope.
Devontae Parker, they sent to New England. So that's big. They let go of 4 wide receivers. Let's talk about what they did to improve on letting go of those 4 wide receivers.
Yeah.
So we all know the big trade in the draft. They picked up Mr. Tyreek Hill. All right. So in acquiring Tyreek Hill, they had to give up 5 draft picks, which is why they only had 4 draft picks in this year. So they gave up a first, a second, and a fourth from this year. They also gave up a fourth and a sixth for next year's draft. Last year, the Dolphins were also a part of the trade that let San Francisco get pick 3 to acquire Trey Lance. And then they used their new trade picks from that to acquire Jalen Waddle. So now they have Tyreek Hill. They have Jalen Waddle still. They've also picked up Teron Armstead at tackle to help out. They picked up Cedric Wilson from Dallas. So he showed some flashes last year. He had some pretty decent games. He had a did he have a 3-touchdown game right at the end of the year?
He had something, but he's a man. He's a probably one of the better wide receiver threes.
Yeah, he's not bad. They also picked up Connor Williams at guard, more help with the O-line. They picked up Chase Edmonds from Arizona, who, by the way, they currently have Sony Michel, Chase Edmonds. Surprisingly, Miles Gaskin. Oh, sorry. They also picked up Raheem Mostert. So yeah, now Miles. So now Miles Gaskin is listed as the number 4 running back on that roster. Isn't that crazy?
It makes sense, man. I mean, like, you got a guy coming in from San Francisco. He wants a certain type of running back. That's what the 49ers do.
Right, right.
That's why Mostert's there. I mean, I would not be surprised. Here, right. you know how you said in the first week of our series that, like, Jacksonville's going to make the playoffs? That was, like, your goofy, like, prediction.
Yeah.
What right now? Raheem Mostert's going to play all 16 or all 17 games. Like,
oh, shit.
But if he does, I think he gets the most touches in that backfield because he plays the one cut outside zone running back. That's what he does.
Right. And they still have they also got Trent Sherfield from 49ers.
That's big.
And then they, like I said, they didn't pick up any new tight ends.
Well, they franchised Gesicki.
Yeah, they still have Gesicki, Smythe, and Shaheen as their tight ends.
So the question's going to be, you know, do they re-sign Gesicki after this year?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel if Tua gets his shit together and has a really good year, which I have a bold prediction for the end of this.
I'm not surprised that you do, my friend.
So anyways, they did a lot to, they let go of those 4 wide receivers, but they did so much more to make this offense a lot better. So by giving up those 5 picks, they only had 4 picks in the draft. Round 3, number 102, they picked up Channing Tindall, inside linebacker from Georgia. He's a player from Georgia. He's probably going to be good.
Yep.
Round 4, number 125, Eric Uzakumwa, wide receiver from Texas Tech.
Yeah, it's a weird pick.
Round 7, number 224, they got Cameron Gord, outside linebacker from Cal. And then a surprising pick at round 7, they picked up Skylar Thompson, quarterback from Kansas State. I also forgot to mention that they signed Teddy Bridgewater in free agency too to back up Tua.
How could you forget Teddy Bridgewater? Teddy Two Gloves.
So they did a lot to solidify their offense this year, and I feel like it could be a breakout year for Tua because of the stuff that they did to the talent that they brought to this team. I really am interested to see how they use Tyreek and how they pull coverage off of him. Cause I feel like there's not a solid number 2 yet really until we see some chemistry develop. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, Waddle's going to get his, so the worry is that Tyreek's going to cut into Waddle's production.
Yeah, that's true.
But there's a, I mean, you got to be able to scheme those dudes open, you know? I mean,
yeah.
They're two incredibly talented dudes, and then the question is, they're going to get open. It doesn't matter what it takes. We will see so many plays where both of them are open.
Yeah. Yeah.
The question is, for fantasy especially, who does Tua like to throw to best? Is it Waddle because he's been there a year, or is it Tyreek because every time you throw the ball deep, there's a chance it's a 70-yard touchdown? Like,
or does it just even itself out and they both get crazy good production? Because my bold prediction for Tua this year...
Hit me.
4,500 yards and 30-plus touchdowns.
All right. I think he goes over. I think he goes over the touchdowns, under the yards.
I mean, the way this offense looks on paper, I mean, I don't see how that's too far of a stretch. It's just going to be the fact that a lot of these players are new and they need to develop chemistry and develop that winning attitude where, like, we're here to win. We're here to play as a team. You know, I would hate to see Tyreek or Waddle start to become a diva, you know, almost like Antonio Brown or something like that. And,
yeah.
I hope that they jive together and they play as well as they should. I think in terms of defense, they still need to secure upgrades at edge rush and linebacker. They play a base 3-4 instead of like the Jets play the 4-3.
You need a lot of linebackers.
Right. And so they need to get more at that position. They also need to find a center.
That would be smart.
Yeah. So I have a lot of high hopes. I have a lot of high hopes for the Dolphins this year.
So last year, and you're talking, and I was like, oh, fuck, I need to look this up. Last year, Miami won their first game of the year and then lost their next 7.
Yeah, that's right.
And then they went, for the rest of the season, they went 8-1.
Yeah, so, that's true.
So I feel like your valuation of the Miami Dolphins is the second half of the season will continue with this, but also they have way more dudes on offense.
Right. And so let's look at their schedule really quick before we make our prediction on over-under for the wins. They start the year at Philly. That's a win right there.
Okay.
Then they play the Patriots. Then they play the Ravens. Then they play the Bills. Then they play Cincinnati. So I don't know about those first four games.
That sounds 1-4 to me.
Then it gets a little easier. Week 6, they play the Jets. Then they play Minnesota. Then they play Pittsburgh. Then they play Detroit. Then they play the Bears. Then they play Cleveland. Then they play Houston. Then it gets a little harder. Then they play the 49ers. They play the Chargers, the Bills, the Packers, and the Pats the last game. So I'm looking at 8, like, so I'm going to put my wins at 9. I'm gonna put them at the same record as last year, 9-8.
Okay. We actually differ on this one.
Really? Because I'm actually counting. I know they play the Patriots twice, but generally Miami does really well against the Patriots for some reason. Yeah,
they play well against the Patriots.
Yeah.
The line for Vegas is 8.5.
Wow. So yeah, I'll take the over on 8.5. Sure.
And I'll take the under because I, when you went through those games, I heard 7 games that I could confidently say, I think Miami wins this game.
Okay.
So it's, you know what though? Like, I'm not going to put money down on it because, or units, whatever we're supposed to say, like, because it could go either way. Tua could be the dude. And if Tua's the dude, then this team wins 10 games.
Right.
So, let's switch it up. I'm going to talk about the NFC East's version of the Miami Dolphins, the Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay.
Also a team that is coming off a rebuild, a vague sort of rebuild, and a team that I think is deciding right now, we are a win-now team. Do we have the quarterback to be a win-now team? Last year, so think about Tua with Miami. The same thing is happening with Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, and they're both the same style quarterbacks, too.
And that's why I'm glad that I was thinking about doing Philadelphia last, but I'm glad that I did it right here. All right, so the Eagles last year went 9-8 and were absolutely thrashed by the Buccaneers in the wild card. Just wrecked. Nick Sirianni is still the head coach. This is year two. The offensive defensive coaches are still exactly the same. We have nothing new to report here. Let's talk about, I usually do the new players first and the players that left second, but we're going to switch it up. The players that left, Alex Singleton, linebacker, went to Denver. That's a big loss. Cornerback Steven Nelson went to Houston is a decent loss. Hassan Ridgeway, defensive lineman, more of a depth rotational player, went to San Francisco. And starting safety Rodney McLeod went to the So let's talk about the guys that came to Philadelphia this year. Oh my God, there's a lot of them. So we've got edge rusher Hassan Reddick. He's decent, you know. He's not going to get 15 sacks, but he might get you 7.
Right.
We have receiver who's probably already injured, Zach Pascal. Kaiser White from the Chargers is a linebacker that they brought in. As I was typing this shit up, James Bradbury, cornerback, all-pro cornerback, is now in Philadelphia. James Bradbury's the shit.
Nice.
And then they got the greatest wide receiver of all time, A.J. Brown. So
yeah, I couldn't believe when that happened during the draft. That was shocking.
That was ridiculous. So I tried so fucking hard to understand all of the moves that the Eagles made for all their picks. Because this goes back to last year with the weird shit with Devonta Smith and all whatever.
Right.
So they had a weird draft. The Eagles made so many moves, I can't even make them make sense in my brain. But I'll tell you this. The Eagles have their, next year they have their first round pick and then New Orleans' first round pick. So they have two first round picks in next year's draft. And they managed to trade for A.J. Brown with picks 18 and 101, and they still picked 13th overall.
Damn.
Ridiculous. I tried to not complicate it, but there's no way to not complicate it. So their first pick 13 from Houston via Cleveland, what the fuck, was Jordan Davis from Georgia, the big boy, the dude that's like 6'6", 340.
Yeah.
He's a monster. He's going to wreck two downs on every drive. And if they work on his conditioning and can keep him in there for three downs, my God. Their second round pick, they got a center from Nebraska named Cameron Juergens. And then round three, a pick that I thought was super interesting, N'Kobe Dean, linebacker from Georgia, who was a first round talent, but he had injury concerns. And people said that he was like, something weird about his shoulder that, like, he was waiting till after the draft to get surgery on it or something crazy. But if he plays and is everything is fine, they got a first round talent in the third. So at pick 83 overall, I'm cool with that. I think that's a decent move, right?
Yeah.
Round six, they got Kyron Johnson, a linebacker from Kansas. And then on pick 198, they got Ryan's guy, Grant Calcaterra, tight end, SMU.
Hell yeah.
That's the he's the one that retired, right?
Oh, that's the guy that, I'm pretty sure that's the guy that started his career in Oklahoma. Then he retired because of concussions and came back a year later with SMU.
Yeah.
So he's got concussion concerns, but he's huge.
Let's do it, man. I love it.
I think he's like 6'7", 260 or something like that.
That's awesome.
His tape looked really good.
All right, so what is the Philadelphia offensive scheme like in 2022? Well, Jalen Hurts is out of excuses. He's got Devonta Smith and A.J. Brown. Dallas Goedert. He's got Miles Sanders and Kenneth Gainwell. Hurts only threw 16 touchdown passes last year and had 9 interceptions.
Wow, that's worse than the Bears.
But he led his team in rushing with 784 yards and 10 rushing touchdowns.
Damn.
Don't you think that the coaching staff saw those numbers and were like, yeah, we can't keep doing this. Let's go get A.J. Brown.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
You don't get A.J. Brown if you're planning on having your quarterback lead your team in rushing again. That's not a thing. A.J. Brown should open this offense up quite a bit and make space for Smith, who had... You know that Devonta Smith almost had 1,000 yards last year?
Really?
Yeah, he had like 950 yards. So, anyways, Hurts is at his best when he's moving, so let's hope for some moving pockets and some bootlegs to create his more mismatches. Do you know that Miles Sanders rushed for 700-plus yards last year and didn't score a single touchdown?
Are you serious?
Yeah, man, that's some Julio Jones shit.
Yeah.
So Miles Sanders is definitely due for some positive touchdown regression because he got zero. So after a loss to the Raiders last year, the offense just went nuts and started averaging like over 28 points a game. So they started to run more like designed runs with Hurts and Sanders and Boston Scott. And then they used a lot of play action. They used the middle of the field. So think about that for a second, Ryan. You got an offense with a quarterback that might not have the best accuracy, but he can get the ball there. And you're trying to use play action and throw the ball over the middle of the field, right?
Yeah.
Can you think about a wide receiver that dominates off of play action in the middle of the field that might have been traded to Philadelphia this year?
Who, AJ?
Yeah. I mean, think about how many times AJ Brown, off a play action fake to Henry, caught a pass over the middle of the field and took it 60 yards.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, what they did in Philadelphia is Sirianni was like, this shit works. Let me find a dude that fits with this shit that works right now. So, I think this year Sirianni's going to lead more into what made his team a success in the second half of last year and like works around what Hurts is good at. And honestly, man, if you're an Eagles fan, whether or not you believe in Hurts, you got to feel good about your team because guess what? You got 2 first-round picks next year, too. So if Hurts sucks and you got to bring in Gardner fucking Minshew, who also sucks, like, and you have to, like, and you're like, man, we are this close to having a quarterback. Guess what? You got 2 first-round picks. Go fucking get one.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's, you know what, I don't want to wax too much on it. Let me finish. Let's talk about the defense real quick. So the Eagles had a real slow start in fantasy last year for their defense, and in real life, where they went against Brady, Mahomes, Prescott, and Herbert. I know, you're shocked. Wow.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
But then, their next streak, they did really good. So let me tell you who they went against. Their defense looked great against Teddy Bridgewater, Trevor Siemian, Daniel Jones, Garrett Gilbert, Zach Wilson, Mike Glennon, and Jake Fromm.
Who the hell is Garrett Gilbert?
That's what I said. I think he was like a Washington third stringer. I don't fucking know. I was like, that's a player?
Yeah.
We're talking about football in late May right now on a podcast, and if we don't know who this dude is, like, what the fuck? All right, so in week 8, TJ Edwards took over as middle linebacker and just balled out, man. Like, could be a star in the making. The Eagles decided to beef up their interior defensive lineman by taking the largest man I've ever seen, Jordan Davis. He's an absolute game wrecker on first and second down. And if he is, like I said, if he becomes a 3-down player or even, like, 2 downs go off, 2 downs go off, if he becomes one of those guys, like, he's like Vince Wilfork, dude.
Yeah, right.
So, James Bradbury and Darius Slay are now their cornerbacks, which is a pretty solid defensive backfield.
Yeah, I think so.
So then if N'Kobe Dean, who fell in the draft because of his medical red flags, if he can come in and be that dude that he was in college, this is the best defense in the division. I'll say it.
Damn, bold.
But that's if. If this dude is and comes in, best defense. All right. There are no excuses for the Eagles this year, especially Jalen Hurts. He's got weapons. Unlike, you know, what we're used to as Bears fans, he has a coach that's building around his strengths. And then if something doesn't work, he's like, we're not going to do it anymore.
Okay.
This defense is getting scary, and they have some major pieces on both sides of the ball. that can just wreck shit for the next few years, right?
Mm-hmm.
The offensive line is strong, and really the sky's the limit. If they don't make the playoffs this year, it's Jalen Hurts' fault, right?
Yeah.
There's no excuse.
Right.
And so if they don't make the playoffs, he's out. So I think if Philadelphia doesn't make the playoffs, he's not on the team. They find a way to get rid of him.
I think the worst scenario for Jalen Hurts would be like if he only played like if he started the season and played like 8 games and was like pretty decent, you know, top 12 like fantasy quarterback, and then he gets injured like the rest of the year. I don't know what's going to happen with that team.
Is Jalen Hurts a good enough quarterback to win an NFL championship?
Well, they say like the cliche is that defense wins championships, and if you're saying their defense is really good, I think if they're the number one defense, potentially.
But now, maybe not even this year. Maybe not even this year. Just in general, is Jalen Hurts good to win a Super Bowl?
From what I've seen, I don't think so.
Okay, I don't think so either. But I think that he can be a playoff caliber quarterback in a system that is built around his success.
Okay.
I think he can be an above average quarterback if they tell him, like, this is all we need you to do. Do it the best.
Yeah.
So my prediction is, I'm going to take it a little bit further here. You ready? My prediction is that the Eagles make the playoffs this year again as a wild card, just like last year.
Uh-huh.
And then they get crushed again in the first round of the playoffs.
Makes sense.
And then they spend the entire offseason trying to figure out if Jalen Hurts did enough to be the quarterback next year.
Okay.
My prediction is that the Philadelphia Eagles go 10-7 this year. What do you think, Ryan? Do you want the line first?
No, I'm going to go. You know what? I'm not as confident in the Eagles. I'm going to go 8 wins. I don't think they make the playoffs.
The Vegas line is 8.5.
Oh my God, for real? All right, I'm taking the under then.
All right, we have. It's so crazy, dude. Like, we agreed on the Giants, Jets, and Washington. And then as soon as we got to the situations where it's a team building around an unproven quarterback, then we split.
Yep, that's true.
That's fucking wild, man. I love it. So that means that your next one is your division winner, huh? No. You got 2 more.
No, yeah, I have 2 more.
That's right. Fuck yeah. So, let's go.
So let's move on to the Patriots.
Okay. They are not winning the division for you.
No. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the Patriots just because I hate the Patriots.
All right. Sure.
But I do have a bunch of stuff written down, so we can go through it. And they did have 10 picks in the draft, surprisingly. So the Patriots were 10-7 last year. Obviously, they still have Bill Belichick as the head coach. But a big thing I wanted to talk about was what Tony was talking about earlier, is where did Joe Judge land? Well, guess where he is at? He's in New England, and he's also competing. He's competing for the offensive play calling job with him and Matt Patricia. So not good right off the bat. I don't know how that happened, but what I read yesterday was that New England still hasn't named an offensive coordinator, and right now Matt Patricia and Joe Judge are competing for that job.
Wow. What a time to be alive.
I can't believe Belichick's allowing that.
Like, you know it all, him. He's just like, this is the, like, he's just going to give them the old playbooks and be like, run this.
Right. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Because I don't want any of those idiots making decisions.
Yeah, I mean, there weren't, and other than that, there was not too much to talk about in Patriots coaching staff. So let's look at some notable players that left New England. We've got Brandon Bolden, longtime New England Patriot. He left. He actually went to the Raiders.
Nice. Good for him. I like Brandon.
Yeah, I mean, he was always that gadget goal line player where, you know, Belichick switches it up, and it's not James White week. It's Brandon Bolden week, and he gets 3 touchdowns, you know.
I fucking love it when special teams running backs get to score touchdowns in real games. That's
special. Oh yeah, I know. It's awesome. Let's see. They also lost C.J. Jackson, cornerback, to the Chargers. They got rid of their fullback, Jacob Johnson. He went to the Raiders as well. Ted Karras, their center, went to the Bengals. Brandon King, the linebacker, went to the Colts. They also got rid of Shaq Mason, guard, was traded to the Bucks. So they need to do some offensive line work. And they got rid of Gunnar Olszewski, Olszewski. Yeah, he's gone. And they also got rid of Chase Vinovich, linebacker, who's traded to the Browns. That was a big loss too. So in the offseason or in the free agency, they've picked up Malcolm Butler at cornerback, Mac Wilson, Terrence Mitchell. That's three cornerbacks right there. They picked up Ty Montgomery. They also picked up Devontae Parker from Miami. They picked up what?
That was a trade, right?
Yeah, yeah. They picked up Jabril Peppers at safety. They re-signed James White and they re-signed Hoyer. But the most important free agency re-signing, our boy Nick Folk, kicker for the New England Patriots, money last year. He was in like every single one of our kicker lineups for FanDuel.
He was the best kicker in football last year.
Yeah.
Like,
without a doubt.
Like, Evan McPherson was the best playoff kicker, but during the regular season, Nick Folk was money in the fucking bank.
Right. So they added that, like I said, they added Devontae Parker. They've got like a string of so-so wide receivers as the general rule for the Patriots. So they got Parker, they have Nelson Agholor, they still have Jacoby Myers, they got Kendrick Bourne, and then they got a bunch of other scrubs. They actually have like 8 or 9 wide receivers on their roster right now.
Yep.
That could change. Yeah, they're just, yeah. They're either has-beens or they're just somewhere in the middle.
Yep.
So let's talk about their draft, actually. So as I said before, they got rid of two really key parts to their offensive line, but they did some work in the draft. So round one, number 29, they picked up Cole Strange, guard from Chattanooga. Round two, they picked up Tyquan Thornton, wide receiver from Baylor. You say that one, they got another cornerback, Jack Jones, Arizona State. An interesting pick at round four, number 127, they got Pierre Strong.
Love him.
It's not a bad pick. He could be developed into a really good gadget guy for Belichick. He loves to work with running backs, so interesting to see what they do with him.
I think he's...
like the next James White?
He's the next James White slash
Brady. Yeah. That's probably why they drafted him, then, right? Because James White's got to be on his last legs.
I think there's a reality where next year the Patriots running back room is Ramondre Stevenson as the main back and then Pierre Strong as the change of pace back.
It's interesting you say that because right now Ramondre Stevenson's listed as a second running back to Damian Harris is listed as first.
Yeah.
So, number four, 137, an interesting pick. They picked up Bailey Zappe, a quarterback from Western Kentucky.
Yeah.
I didn't understand that pick. Round six, number 183, Kevin Harris, running back from South Carolina. Round six, number 200, is Sam Roberts, defensive tackle, Northwest Missouri State.
God, that is like Bill Belichick College to pick a dude from.
Right. Round six, number 210, Chasen Hines, a guard from LSU, just to try and get some more depth at guard for them. And then round seven, number 245, they got Andrew Stuber, another tackle from Michigan. They actually traded away their third round pick to Carolina for a late fourth and a 2023 third. So they would have had 11 picks but they ended up with 10. I think of all the teams in this division, the Bills seem like, or the Patriots seem like they have the hardest schedule. And we can see, especially because if they don't start the season well, the end of their schedule, like the last 7 or 8 weeks, is super tough. So like, first week they play Miami, and as I said before, Patriots for some reason struggle against Miami, especially in Miami. And I think the first week they're in Miami. Then they play Pittsburgh, shouldn't have a problem with that one. Then they play Baltimore. Then they play Green Bay. So maybe one or two wins out of those first 4 weeks. But then gets a little easier in the middle of the season. Week 5, Detroit. Then you got Cleveland. Bears. Then you got the Jets. I don't know about the Colts. Then you got the Jets again. You got to play the Jets twice, weeks 9 and 11. Then you play Minnesota. And here's where it starts getting tough. If they can't get a decent amount of wins out of those first 11 weeks, then you go on to play the Bills. And like I said, those first 11 weeks, you haven't even played the Bills yet. So then you've got the Bills, then you've got the Cardinals, then you've got the Raiders, who are going to be awesome this year, I hope. Then you got Cincinnati, then you got the Dolphins again, and then you got the Bills again to close out the year. So that's a really tough end of the year schedule for them.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say too much about their offense and defense just because I didn't do too much. It's always, they didn't do anything exciting or crazy. It's going to be Belichick. It's going to be the same. Every game is going to be different because he's creative. But last year they were 10-7. I don't think they get 10 wins this year. I'm going to put their wins at 8 wins.
I have them at 7 wins.
Ooh.
And the Vegas line is, you're right on today, man. The Vegas line is 8.5.
Wow. Okay, so we're both on the under for that one.
Yep. We are both under the Patriots wins at 8.5. I like it.
Yeah. But like I said, they got a couple running backs, and I'll be interested to see what Belichick does with them.
It's Belichick, man. You know, he's doing it out. He's doing another rebuild right now. He's overhauling the roster. Post Brady, right. It's year 3. Like, if there's a coach that I want to have 4 6th and 7th round picks with, it's Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
I feel like he spends all of his time looking for those late round gems that they don't pay attention to enough early in the draft.
Right.
All right, so my division winner, most likely, and my last team is the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay.
So let's talk a little bit about the Dallas Cowboys. They went 12-5. They won the division. They had the best points per game scoring offense in football. And then they were playing the 49ers. And they were down 23-7 and made a crazy comeback and then lost when a quarterback keeper up the middle ran the clock out before they could spike the ball. That might have been the most painful loss of the season, but it's clearly the most hilarious loss of the season. They made no coaching changes at all. Noted idiot Mike McCarthy is still the head coach. Kellen Moore is still the offensive coordinator. Dan Quinn is still the defensive coordinator. There's still, Cowboys fans are always like, they're trying to groom Kellen Moore to make him the next offensive coordinator. And I wouldn't be surprised that Jerry Jones is a groomer, but I don't know. I think they would have gotten rid of McCarthy already because he's a dumbass.
Yeah, right.
The Cowboys gained a couple players. They got Dante Fowler on the edge, which is a nice pickup, cheap pickup. And then they got James Washington, wide receiver from Pittsburgh, is now in Dallas.
Okay.
They lost.
They needed Washington because they got rid of Wilson. They needed a number 3.
Yes. Well, they lost a lot, man.
Yeah.
Randy Gregory, their edge, went to the Broncos. Keanu Neal went to the Buccaneers, their safety. Connor Williams, left guard, went to Miami. Wide receiver Cedric Wilson went to Miami. Greg Zuerlein, kicker, went to the Jets. Tight end Blake Jarwin is still unsigned. And wide receiver Amari Cooper is in Cleveland.
That's right.
So they needed a wide receiver too, my friend. In the draft, they went tackle in the first round, getting Tyler Smith from Tulsa. So they went linebacker in round two, Sam Williams from Ole Miss. They went wide receiver, pick 88, Jalen Tolbert from South Alabama, who was my wide receiver, 17. And you know what? The thing about Tolbert is I struggled so much to find tape, and that's why I couldn't rank him very high. He's a good receiver. I mean, we'll see what happens. He's going to get opportunities.
Yeah.
Jake Ferguson, tight end from Wisconsin, round four. And then the rest is depth guys. They went tackle, cornerback, linebacker, defensive tackle, linebacker. So, their offensive scheme. Let's talk about the Dallas offense. The offense is going to be as good as Kellen Moore, right? Tyler Smith comes in. He was a tackle in college. They're going to push him into guard, which means at left tackle, left guard, and right guard, the Cowboys have big-time investments and big-time players. But the line still isn't perfect. Center's still a little rough, and right tackle is still not great. And Ezekiel Elliott is probably the slowest fast running back of all time. Every time he runs the ball, I'm like, dude, come on, get to the fucking point. But he's still like, he rushed for over 1,000 yards last year.
Sure.
He said that he did all of last year on a torn PCL ligament.
So, oh, that's right, yeah.
So we'll see if that's true. I mean, I'm sure, why would someone lie about it? But like,
right.
Back, it doesn't look like an old-ass man. Every year, Tony Pollard cuts into his work a little bit more. And he could be used, like, to keep it as a split. Like, Pollard's still there, you know? Dude, they overpaid Amari Cooper so much that all they got back from Cleveland was a fifth-round pick.
Wow.
Yeah. So, Cooper missed some games last year, right? But Cooper, Jarwin, and Wilson being gone frees up about 180 targets on this offense. Gallup, for some reason, tore his ACL in, like, week 16 or 17. He's planning on, like, coming back for the start of the season.
What is that, like, eight months? 9 months?
No, probably about 8 months. Like, yeah. a little over 8 months.
Oh, that's kind of ahead of schedule.
Yeah, so Dallas needs Gallup back because James Washington is not a wide receiver, too. And Tolbert has a big ceiling, but who knows if a dude that literally played at South Alabama State is ready to come in and play the NFL level.
Exactly, right, yeah, yeah.
He's a big unknown. Dak is still Dak, and if Zeke is telling the truth about how good he's going to be this upcoming year, like, this team will be successful on offense. You know, it's Dallas.
Yeah.
Don't put up numbers. Yeah. So I'm going to, like, I think their numbers go down a little bit without Cooper. I don't think they're the highest scoring offense in football this year again. But they're still going to be a good offense. So
yeah.
I'm going to wait until now to talk about CeeDee Lamb. I haven't said a thing about CeeDee Lamb yet. So here's my question. Is he a true number one wide receiver?
Oh, CeeDee Lamb, yes, for sure. He's gonna have his breakout year. I mean, he's already broken out, but he's going to be a beast this year, I think.
He had four games last year where he had 10 or more targets, and in each of those games, he balled the fuck out.
Right.
And then there were seven games last year where he had five or less targets.
Yeah, I remember there was a string of games where he just wasn't getting anything. I don't know why, but
it's like you're overthinking it. Like, dude, there's right. You get him the ball. It doesn't matter how you get him the ball, get him the fucking ball.
Right, right.
So he ran 250 snaps out of the slot last year and 332 as a boundary receiver. So he's gonna go everywhere.
Yeah.
I think his efficiency goes down. I think he starts to face that extra coverage over the top. But I think his targets go up. I think, you know, if they're vacating a couple hundred targets, like 180 targets, he's going to get 40 or 50 more of those passes.
Sure.
So I think Lamb might be the most targeted receiver this year that I've talked about.
I'd be down for that. I always like watching the Cowboys. I like watching their pass game. Yeah. An interesting thing I've been hearing this week is a lot of people are like talking about how they're going to take Pollard over Elliott. Everyone fails to realize what Elliott's not washed up. He was like the number 8 running back last year.
Right, yeah,
like he's still really good.
Right. He's going to be cheap this year in redraft.
If he's healthy, he's going to be the guy.
Right. All right, so Dallas's defense is pretty much Micah Parsons, right? Like,
yeah.
First team All-Pro, Pro Bowl, Defensive Rookie of the Year. Like, you're a monster. Trayvon Diggs is the best ball-hawking defensive back in the league, but he does that thing where he gambles so much on playing the ball, he's always giving up big plays.
True.
Do you remember that game against the Patriots last year when, like, he had a pick six, and then, like, on the next play, he got beat for, like, a 70-yard touchdown because he
yeah.
got for interception? Like, that's what he does.
Yeah.
Dallas had 26 interceptions last year.
Really?
Because he had 11.
Damn.
He had more interceptions than a bunch of the teams we've talked about, dude.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
They forced 13 fumbles. They had 41 sacks. Like, their numbers were crazy. Micah Parsons had 13 of those 41 sacks and forced 3 of those 13 fumbles. So, 26 interceptions, 11 of them by one dude. 41 sacks, 13 by one dude. Dallas has star players, and then everywhere else it's just like, whatever, dude.
Right.
So, Jayron Kearse and Malik Hooker are decent in the back safeties, like in the back defense, the secondary. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I can't explain. Leighton Vander Esch, the linebacker, is old and always hurt.
Yeah, he gets hurt like every game.
Right, and the rest of the defensive line is kind of average. The Cowboys are the Cowboys at the end of the day. So after they did their first pick on an offensive lineman, they decided to use their second-round pick on Sam Williams, who was a pass rusher, who was arrested in 2020 for felony sexual battery.
Are you serious? Oh, yeah. My God.
Chargers were dropped, which in college towns, that's usually something shitty went on behind the scenes.
Right.
The Cowboys, as always, are willing to overlook his horribleness because he's good at football, which is fucking gross. So if this monster is good on the edge and a good pass rusher, this team generates a ton of pressure and havoc and continues to force turnovers and is a playoff caliber unit.
Hell yeah.
So they need a little bit more pass rush, but we'll see if that horribleness makes it okay. All right. So, the 2022 Cowboys are the most complete team in this division. But it would yeah. not. But would you be totally surprised if they somehow blew it and like Philadelphia won the division? I don't think it would be crazy.
I'd put it at like a 30-70 chance. I mean, they
have. If that gets hurt, if
yeah, yeah,
there's a bust. I think it would be a surprise if they didn't make the playoffs. And if they didn't make the playoffs, Mike McCarthy's gone.
Yeah.
Kellen Moore will probably be the coach. But I think this year, I think the Cowboys win the division. And once again, they break their fans' hearts in the playoffs. And the fans will be sad and just have to wait for the Lakers and Yankees season to start again.
Yep.
Dallas needs one more star on the outside and one more stud linebacker to be a legit Super Bowl contender. But they're going to be like the good version of the Commanders until that happens. Like,
yeah.
Washington, when I think about Washington, they're in football hell, right? Because they're not good to win the Super Bowl, but they're not bad enough to get like a top 5 pick.
Yeah, true.
So I think Dallas is like the opposite version of that. They're not good enough to get to the Super Bowl, but they're going to make the playoffs every year and have to pick in the mid-20s and hope that one of their dudes hits.
For sure.
So luckily they've done that. Michael Parsons and CeeDee Lamb are home runs, right?
Yeah, of course.
But they need to hit more singles and doubles to, like, even out the talent on this team. Because it's a super top-heavy team.
Yeah, that's for sure.
My prediction for the Dallas Cowboys is that they go 11-6 and lose. They win the division, and so they play... They win the first round of the playoffs, and they lose in the second round. So I think... I'm at 11-6 for the Dallas Cowboys. Do you want the line first, or would you like to take a guess?
No, I had them at 10 wins, but still winning the division and making the playoffs.
Like clockwork, dude. The line the line for Dallas in Vegas is 10.5.
All right, I'll take the under then. I'll say 10 or less wins.
All right. So... That's the NFC East. So why don't you wrap up the AFC East? Tell me all about it.
All right, let's wrap up the AFC East. We'll talk about the Buffalo Bills. All right, Bills Mafia. All right, last year Bills went 11-6. They still got Sean McDermott as their head coach. Leslie Frazier is the defensive coordinator / assistant head coach.
Yep.
Ken Dorsey as their offensive coordinator. And Matthew Smiley as their special teams coordinator.
Really? Ken Dorsey is their offensive coordinator? That dude fucking sucked as a quarterback in college.
Well, we all know that you don't have to be good at a quarterback to be an offensive coordinator in the NFL.
That's very true. Also, yeah, because Dable left, so they brought him in.
Okay. Yeah, yep. Let's look at some interesting players that left. Obviously, our boy Mitch Trubisky left and is now in the Steel City of Pittsburgh. We got Matt Breida left. He got traded to the Giants.
I can't believe they got something for him.
I know. Couple guys they're not bringing back. They're not bringing back Mr. Anti-Vax, Cole Beasley, and Emmanuel Sanders. I think just Sanders is old. I mean, I remember Sanders playing with Peyton Manning when he was in Denver.
Remember when he played for the Saints?
Yeah, that's true too, yeah. Let's see. They got rid of Daryl Williams, tackle, John Feliciano. Guard, anyone, all these, they got rid of a couple defensive ends, defensive line guys. No one really big. Star Latole,
the Death Star.
Yep. Let's see what they did in free agency. One big notable thing to prop up their defense was they added Von Miller.
Yep.
They added Tim Settle at defensive line. Daquan Jones also pass rush. Jordan Phillips at defensive line. Then they beefed up their O line. They added Roger Saffold and David Questenberry at tackle. They picked up Duke Johnson. He's listed as their number four running back right now. Currently, their running backs are listed Singletary, James Cook, Zach Moss, and Duke Johnson. Zach Moss surprisingly is at number three. They also picked up Mr. OJ Howard at tight end.
That's right.
So now they have a nice dual threat tight end. Dawson Knox and OJ Howard. So that'll be nice. Some added extra protection and also targets for Josh Allen.
Sure.
And as we mentioned before, the Jets got rid of Jamison Crowder and he's now with the Bills.
He's on the Bills.
Yep. Let's see. They picked up Matt Barkley, too, just to back up, you know, because they needed a decent backup after they got rid of Trubisky. They re-signed Diggs, obviously. And that's the notable ones right now. So let's talk about their draft. They did have a first-round pick, number 23. They got Kair Elam, cornerback from Florida.
That's a love it. Love
yeah.
That.
Round two, number 63, they picked up James Cook, running back from Georgia. That's Dalvin Cook's brother.
Love it.
I have really high hopes for him. I hope he translates well, and I think he could potentially be the starting running back by the end of the year.
Like it.
Round three, number 89, they got Terrell Bernard, linebacker from Baylor. Round five, pick number 148, Khalil Shakir, a wide receiver from Boise State. Did you see any of him? Because you watched a lot of Boise State, so.
Yeah, you know what he reminded me of was like an Anthony Miller type of guy. Like an underneath guy, a guy that runs good routes. He was a bit more of a deep threat than Anthony Miller, but it's a guy that can get open. He just, his hands are kind of iffy.
Okay. All right. So he just needs some development.
Hope so.
Round six, number 180, Matt Araiza. They drafted a punter. I don't know why.
Dude, he's the punt guy.
Is he really? Oh, dude, is that the guy that did the...
Yeah, like the 80-yard
punt. Yeah, yeah. That was crazy.
He can also kick like 50-yard field goals.
That's crazy. So a backup kicker if they need it.
Yeah.
Because they have Bass still. Yeah. Which he was almost just as good as Folk last year, so.
That's true.
Round six, number 185, Christian Benford, cornerback for Villanova. Round six, number 209, Luke Tenuta, outside tackle. Round seven, number 231, Baylor Specter, linebacker from Clemson. So all in all, they had eight picks. They did a lot of stuff to solidify their backfield, their cornerbacks and secondary. It'll be interesting to see what they do from here on because I feel like they still have a lot of gaps in their D-line because they let go of so many guys. And they really only picked up three guys to replace the six that they let go on the line. We'll see what they do. But in terms of offense, I think this is going to be Gabe Davis's year. I think he's... Yeah, it's going to be so freaking awesome right now. So they got Diggs, Gabe Davis, Crowder, McKenzie, Kumaro's there. And then they got a couple rookies and then a couple other depth guys. But I think Gabe Davis and Diggs are going to, especially with the addition of Crowder, nobody's going to know who to cover. Nobody's going to know who to cover.
James, I think it's a great slot receiver.
Yeah, yeah.
He's better than Cole Beasley.
Yeah, that's true. Josh Allen, their O-line needs to do some better stuff this year. Josh Allen needs a longer pass window to create bigger plays. He only gained 6.8 yards per pass attempt this year compared to 7.9 in 2020. So it was a regression, which is kind of odd, even though Buffalo still looks like an awesome team, but it was a regression. So they need to do some work on that O-line to get that number up. In terms of defense, like I said, they need to fill some holes because, Tony, I think you were saying yesterday when we were talking that actually you think the Patriots have the best defense. It probably and did you say in the league or in this,
no,
in,
this division.
In this division, yeah. And they're gonna need to do some work if they want to stay in some of these games and get to the Super Bowl. I mean, it was clearly evident in last year's shootout game against Kansas City. Defense didn't even fucking matter in that game. It was just back and forth touchdowns. I mean,
it was Madden.
Yeah, yeah, that was the most ridiculous game I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, and it was fucking awesome to watch, but at the same time, like, you'll notice that, like, Buffalo's first pick was a cornerback, and the Chiefs had two picks, and it was a defensive back and an edge rusher, like, in the first round. Like, they remembered why they lost.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And so I know that Tre'Davious White is back for this year. Hopefully he stays. They haven't traded him or anything, but they've talked about it. But Elam's a real nice piece.
Yeah.
So.
So let's work down really quick. We'll just go through their schedule. I don't like their first matchup is week one in LA at the Rams.
That's Thursday night.
Oh, is that the Thursday night game?
That's the season opener Thursday night.
Damn, that'll be a good barn burner. Then they play the Titans. Then they play the Dolphins. Then they play the Ravens. Then they got the Steelers. Week six, they got the Chiefs. Then they got the Packers. Then they got the Jets. Middle of the season's not bad for them. Vikings, Browns, Lions, Patriots, Jets again, Miami again. Week 15 is the Bears.
Yikes.
And then they finish out the season against the Bengals and the Pats.
Wow.
So their schedule is, I don't think, is as hard as New England's schedule, but it's close. It's kind of tough.
Yeah.
It's a tough, but they're still really good. I'm still going to put them at 11 wins.
You know what's crazy is I love the Bills. I mean, they're great. And I'm also putting them at 11 wins, which means we are agreeing for the first time
in a while.
Well, in a minute, but we're both under.
Really? What do they got them at? 12? 11 and a half?
11 and a half.
Oh, wow.
So this is a team that we both think is a Super Bowl contender, but we're still putting them on the under for Vegas.
That's crazy.
Who's the last game of the season? Is it New England, you said?
Yeah, Pats.
Okay. Because I don't think Belichick, I don't think he, rests the starters or whatever, you know what I mean?
No.
I think they're still playing for something in the last week of the season, so I think if, you know, they go into it with 11 wins, it'll still be a competitive game. Belichick's not going to, give them a free win at the end of the year.
Yeah.
All right, so...
So that's the East.
So we did it. We did our Easts. That means we have one more left in our series. And after that, we still need to figure out what we're doing.
Do we want, since we love the North and that's our home division, do we want to break down the NFC North into two episodes? Where we do Detroit and Minnesota one episode, and then we do a lot about Bears, Packers. Well, we can talk about it during the week.
We'll figure it out. So,
but anyways, this was episode 32. I hope you enjoyed.
Yeah. Listening. Well, which division do you want to do? Do you think? Because we also have the AFC North to do.
Oh, that's right. Shit. So let's break it down, and we'll do the AFC North next week, and we'll save the NFC North. You want to do two episodes, or you just want to get it all over with?
Well, I think our next episode should be us having this conversation for an hour and making a decision. And then after that, I'll match you with a better idea.
So yeah, let's do 70 minutes, let's do 90 minutes of content and then another 70 minutes of us talking about what we're going to do.
No, it's perfect. I love it. That's what the people sign up for, man. That's why we get all the that's it. That's episode 32. Great job, Ryan. And Craig, I hope you didn't fuck up. I swear to God if you fucked up. I swear to God. All right, so let's do our fantasy rosters real quick.
Oh crap, I forgot to do one. Damn it.
That's okay.
I can make one really quick.
Yeah, it's not tough. So, as we've done before, it's quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end. I'm going, so if we were doing an actual fantasy redraft lineup this year, honestly, I'm paying up for Josh Allen because he is that much of an advantage overall that sure, you could get cute and get value with Tua and Zach Wilson. But to me, the loss of four rounds in value, like, give me Josh Allen. I don't fucking care.
Sure.
My running backs are not a huge surprise. I'm going to go with Breece Hall because I think Breece Hall becomes the primary running back right away in New York, and I think that he's going to get a lot of looks. I think there's a pretty likely world where he gets 200-plus touches this year, 250 maybe. He's not going to put up Najee numbers, but he's going to do well. So, sure. Josh Allen, Breece Hall, my second running back's a little spicy. I'm going to go Raheem Mostert.
Wow. Interesting.
Dude, if he's healthy, this line was made for him.
Yeah, that's true.
The only question is his health. That's it. So, my wide receivers, I'm going to run it back, and I'm going to go Stephon Diggs, because why? Why would you go anywhere else? I think the better Gabe Davis gets, the better it is for Diggs. And then my second receiver is going to be Jaylen Waddle, because I think that he's going to have a much steadier floor this year than Tyreek Hill. Tyreek might end up with more points, but I think Jaylen Waddle is the steady play of the week in this division.
Sure.
All right, Ryan, lay it on me, brother.
All right. Well, since the NFC East is so horrible, it's natural that I have three Cowboys in my lineup. So.
Okay. Oh, wait. I got to do my tight end real quick.
Oh, okay.
It's Mike Gesicki. All right, go ahead.
All right. So we're going to start up. I'm going Prescott at quarterback. I'm going CeeDee Lamb. I'm also going AJ Brown.
My man.
At running backs, I'm taking Gibson.
Sure.
And I'm taking Zeke.
Over Saquon, huh?
Yep.
All right.
He'll get hurt. Saquon will get hurt.
I mean, so will Zeke.
Yeah, true. And then at tight end, I'm taking Mr. Goddard.
I mean, there's no other reason. Dallas Goddard's like severely underrated, like, should be on the scene as on the same level as Kittle and Waller.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, that's our East wrap-up, and we'll come at you with something next week that involves some of the North somehow.
Something, yeah. King of the North.
Yeah, we'll figure out the Kings of the North, and then we'll see you then. Hopefully you're enjoying some bar rescue on this lovely Sunday.
Oh, yeah. By the way, Bar Rescue Marathon starts at 8 a.m. every Sunday and goes till 9 p.m. every Sunday, concluding with the season's newest episode.
Time to shut it down. So we'll see you guys next week. Enjoy, be safe, and yep.
See you later.
All right, well, see you later.
Who the hell is Garrett Gilbert?